Dear God, we give you thanks for the birth of your Son, Jesus. God, help us to understand that whether or not we feel prepared for Jesus' coming, the good news of your love that we know through him will arrive on Christmas Day. Help us to recognize that our preparation matters far less than our reaction to that good news. We pray all this in the name of the one who is Messiah and Lord and Savior, the infant King, Jesus Christ. Amen. Christmas is such a joyful time of year. It's a time of year when we can reflect on the good news of God's love that we know in Jesus Christ. But let's also be honest, it's a lot of work. I mean, in the church calendar, we spend 4 whole weeks getting ready for Christmas. We call that season Advent. And believe it or not, there are some special people out there who start getting ready for Christmas even before that. If you've ever heard someone playing Christmas music in early November or late October, you know the kind of special people I'm talking about. But friends, the truth is we all have our own special rites and traditions for getting ready for Christmas, don't we? Maybe your family has a Christmas tree that you decorate with those very special ornaments. Maybe you have an elf on the shelf who moves around from day to day, keeping an eye on everything. Maybe you have decorations that go on the outside of your house, maybe some Christmas lights to bring a little bit more brightness to these dark New England December days. Speaking personally, one of my favorite Christmas traditions is taking out my nutcrackers. I have 16 nutcrackers because I've been collecting about one a year since I was almost 8 years old, skipping only a few years every now and then. And I have everything from a Santa Claus to a chef to a wicked witch to, believe it or not, an elf. So I do have a nutcracker elf on a shelf, even if it's not the same elf on a shelf that many of y'all may have. And of course, friends, there's also the spiritual preparation that goes into getting ready for Christmas. Many of us make an extra effort to come to church, even coming as late as 11 p.m. on Christmas Eve. Some people spend extra time in prayer and Bible study. Beyond that, there's also the commercial side of Christmas, which we all know full and well. You have to buy presents for everybody on your list. You have to cook those obligatory Christmas treats, and you have to spend all that money on all those family outings. There's a lot of preparation that goes into Christmas. So why is it that when we arrive at the doorstep of Christmas Day, we can still feel totally and utterly unprepared? Or maybe I'm the only one in the room who feels that way. For many of us, I think our family, as much as they can be a source of joy, they can also be a source of stress and anxiety and distraction from Christmas. Parents have to look after their children, making sure they're safe and secure, especially if you're at someone else's house. And sometimes those roles get switched and children have to look after their parents. Everyone in the house wonders what's going to happen when you know who shows up for Christmas, or what if they don't show up at all? Or maybe you're like me and you're wondering, how am I even going to find time for family with everything else I've got going on? Besides family, we also have to admit that sometimes our mental and emotional state can distract us from the true meaning of Christmas. Many of us have lost someone precious to us this past year. Many of us are feeling lonely and isolated. Many of us are dealing with stress and anxiety and depression, and we need to be honest about that and name that and admit that that can be a source of distraction from feeling prepared for Christmas. And sometimes, friends, as ironic as it is, I think even our checklists, even the very act of getting ready for Christmas, can get in the way of getting ready for Christmas. We can get so caught up in everything that we have to do that we can forget what this holiday is really about. But I think one of the biggest sources of distraction for so many of us is our work. And I'm speaking from this as personal as I can as a pastor. Because let me tell you, along with Reverend Jenny and our music director Joe and our amazing choir, we have spent dozens of hours getting ready for Christmas Day. And I love being able to lead worship with this crowd of people as we welcome Christ into our midst and celebrate the joy of this day. But looking back over this Advent season, these past 4 weeks, I can wonder, have I done so much work as a pastor to get ready for Christmas that I have forgotten to do the work I need to do as a person to welcome Jesus into my life? And that's on nobody else but me. But of course, friends, pastors aren't the only people working hard during this Christmas season, and we know that. There are people who work in retail, working hourly jobs, who put in overtime after overtime, week after week, just trying to keep up with the demand. There There are salaried employees who are also putting in extra hours, hoping to carve out just a little bit of free time during that holiday week. And then, of course, there are managers and business owners who are working hard as well, trying to make sure that Christmas is a good experience for their customers, for their family members, and for their employees. So, friends, we know that our work can be a distraction from making us feel prepared for Christmas. So if you feel like you're not yet ready for December 25th to arrive, I hope you know that you're in good company, because I have a feeling there's a lot of other people like that in this room right now. But the other piece of good news that I want to share right now today is that when we look back at Scripture, when we look back at that first Christmas 2,000 years ago, we see that there was a variety of levels of preparation for Jesus' coming, and yet the good news of his birth came anyways. When we look at Mary, the mother of Jesus, you better believe that she was prepared for Jesus' coming. After all, she bore that child for 9 months. She had an angel tell her that she was going to give birth to God's son. And she even went to spend 3 months with her cousin Elizabeth getting ready for Jesus' birth. And then when we consider Joseph, well, he was sort of ready. I mean, when he first found out that Mary was pregnant before they were married and the child wasn't his, he was naturally upset. He wanted to put her away, but quietly, because he was a righteous man, not a mean man. And then he had a dream in which an angel told him that it wasn't the case that Mary had been unfaithful, but that God was so faithful that God was going to use Mary to give birth to a Savior who would liberate God's people forever. And after that, Joseph began to get ready. He began to become the ideal stepfather, even going so far as to take Mary with him when he went to Bethlehem for the census. And what about those wise men? Well, it turns out they're not even in the picture yet. Yes, they're on that beautiful banner up there. Yes, we have them on the altarpiece in front of us, but according to the Gospel of Matthew, they don't arrive until a long time after Jesus was born. On Christmas Day, on the day of Jesus' birth, those wise men are doing exactly what they're doing in that banner. They're still following that star. They're still getting ready. They're still traveling. Now, there's another group of people who were totally unprepared for the good news, the shepherds. When we think about those shepherds and what they were doing when Jesus was born, well, they were working. They were out in the hill country, working late at night. I mean, probably they weren't looking forward to that day at all because they had somehow pulled the graveyard shift out in the hill country looking after these sheep in the cold and breezy winter. There was nothing for them to look forward to. They were totally unprepared, and yet God sent the good news of Jesus' birth to them anyway. Just like many of us who have felt distracted by our work, those shepherds felt the same way, and God didn't seem to care. Because those shepherds, there they were, tending their sheep, when all of a sudden an angel appears to them and tells them about the birth of a special child who is Lord and Savior and Messiah. And even crazier still, the angel tells those shepherds that this child will not be born in a royal palace, but in a stable, lying in a place where cows normally eat their hay, a manger. And as if that wasn't shocking enough, then the shepherds hear not only from that angel, but a whole host of angels, an army of angels, that this child is going to bring peace on earth, that this child is good news for the entire world. And after these angels glorify God in the highest heaven, just as soon as they appeared, they disappear and run off back to heaven. And those shepherds were astounded, dumbfounded, and flabbergasted at what they heard. And can we really blame them? They were totally unprepared. And what I find so interesting about the story is that it doesn't seem to matter that they were not prepared, because their reaction was right on target. You see, those shepherds had a choice, didn't they? They could have completely ignored what happened to them. They could have thought maybe we were all suffering from a mass delusion, because I don't know about you, but I've never seen an army of angels in my lifetime. Or maybe those shepherds could have thought, you know, what those angels said was so beautiful and so comforting and so nice, let's just keep it to ourselves. Maybe they wouldn't investigate any further. But that's not what those shepherds do. Instead, those shepherds go to Bethlehem, to the place where the angels told them the child would be. And the shepherds don't get very specific directions, so I'm sure they had a lot of awkward conversations where they knocked on someone's door and said, hey, we're looking for a child lying in a manger, and I'm sure a lot of people said to them, I'm sorry, we keep our children in ordinary places, not where the animals eat their food. But eventually, those shepherds did find the house where Mary and Joseph were staying, there with Jesus, lying in the place where the animals would normally eat their food. And they were so astounded at seeing this, so astounded that what the angels told them was true, that they immediately shared all the angels had told them with Mary and Joseph. And what I find so interesting about this story is it's only at this point that we read that the shepherds praised and glorified God. It is only here that the shepherds finally rejoice. Because remember, when the shepherds first meet the angels, they're terrified. They have no idea what's happening. You know, maybe the shepherds felt a little bit happy when they see Jesus in the flesh, but we really don't know how they feel one way or the other. It's only after they share the good news that we read that they praised and glorified God. And I think this happens because joy is not an ordinary resource. Joy is not the kind of thing where, in order for you to have some, I've got to give up some of what I have. Instead, joy follows the laws of the divine economy, where if I give you some joy, then you have some joy, and I have some joy, and both of us have more than we first started out with. So when the shepherds share this good news, they increase their joy and Mary and Joseph's joy and the joy of everyone in that place. So at the end of the story, it does not matter that those shepherds were not prepared because their reaction was right on target. And friends, we are like those shepherds. There are going to be situations in life in which we encounter good news that we could not prepare for. Maybe the good news of the birth of a child or an unexpected pregnancy. The good news of a clean bill of health or of a restored relationship. The good news of getting into that school you thought you had no chance of getting into, or getting that job promotion you never thought you would get. There are so many chances in this life to receive good news that we could not plan for or prepare for. And in those moments, I pray that you recognize that your preparation matters less than your reaction. And I pray that you react exactly like those shepherds in sharing it with other people, not to brag or boast, but to multiply everyone's joy. Now, friends, for us as Christians, the ultimate good news is what we know in Jesus Christ, the love of God. And this is good news that we can prepare for leading up to Christmas Day. After all, like I said, in the church calendar, we have 4 whole weeks to do that. But the truth is, the good news of God's love in Jesus Christ is something that we can encounter at any time of the year, and it can catch us completely off guard. This is good news that we can encounter when we hear a sermon that moves our hearts or a song that really connects with us. This is the good news that we know when we see a friend deepen their faith or a family member discover faith for the first time. This is the good news we know when we serve a neighbor in need or when a neighbor serves our needs in our time of desperation. This good news of God's love can catch us completely off guard. And in those moments, friends, I hope we recognize that like those shepherds, we have a choice. We can ignore it, we can keep it to ourselves, or we can share it with others to multiply their joy. And so, friends, on this Christmas Eve, that is the message I want to leave us with. Whether or not you feel prepared for Christmas Day, recognize that the good news of God's love will find you. And like those shepherds, let us remember that our preparation matters far less than our reaction. And I pray that each and every person in this room reacts by sharing that good news with those around them, so that your joy and theirs may be multiplied on this Christmas Day and every other day of the year. Amen.